Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We're happy to have them on board making the show a possibility and fixing our craziness.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show
you. Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Oh my God.
We got a new little song.
We got a song, you
Look
guys.
Look at us.
Oh my God.
Got a new new transitions.
We have a whole new sound design for the podcast. We hope you like it. It's really exciting. We have a new elevator pitch. So we're really going to hold folks accountable.
30
you
seconds.
You only get 30 seconds to say your elevator pitch. See, because what happens is, people go into their elevator pitch and then the show is the elevator
I know.
Pitch.
We kind of wandered off a lot.
So we got some advice that maybe we try to.
Who do we get that advice from? Like Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell gave us that advice. So we're going to try Rosie's advice.
Because, you know, she was famous. We're not.
She had a show that was really popular. Yeah. So we're going to go with that. So hopefully you like our new sound. There's all kinds of new stuff that you're going to hear. So,
and we got to say thank you to Songfinch and Tiffany Topol. Tiffany is the one who created the song, and Songfinch, like the two of them, gave us the rights to use it and to mess around with it and kind of make it our own.
If you don't know Songfinch is a company that makes up songs.
songs for you. So you go in, you tell them a little bit about yourself and what you want a song. Like if you want to make a song for your wife, you go and you say,
Mother's Day.
Yeah, or Mother's Day. I want to talk about why my mom is so good. And then they pair you with a songwriter and they write you a song that is like totally unique to you.
Yeah.
And they did that for us. And we love the song so much that we asked them to let us use it.
Yeah, we were
for the
like, give it, please.
And they gave it.
Thank you. And but also we got to thank our little sound designer, Ben Chug, who made all, he put all this together. He made all these transitions. He's amazing. So if he's you cool. need some sound design, you should reach out to him on Instagram. He's Chen the Bugler, and that's C-H-E-N underscore the underscore B-U-G-L-E-R.
So reach out.
Yeah.
Or even just reach out to him and tell him you like it.
I know. He's amazing.
Yeah. It was really good. It's really fun.
Okay. Now, before we get into the show, Jamie.
Okay.
It's the last chance to enter our Instagram If These Ovaries Could Talk swag bag. Dun, dun, dun. So if you follow us on Instagram at ovaries underscore talk, you
Before
could win.
The end of January.
Tell them what they could win, Jamie.
They could win some real swag. A t-shirt, a mug, some stickers, and a pin.
Just one pin, because that's all we've got. We gave a lot of them away at Pride.
Everybody likes pins. But yeah, you guys, you know you want that swag.
You got till the end of the month, end of January, in order to enter. And
I'm just saying, the stickers look really good on your computer.
They sure do.
Yeah, put them over that logo, you know.
Put them on your nipples.
You could do that.
Is that weird? It's weird. Yeah, it's probably weird.
A little too much right there.
I know. Sorry, I got weird.
You could do that.
Well, we're going to announce the winner in our show on February 3rd. So, woo!
And also, you may have heard us talk about our Patreon community. You can always join us on Patreon. We always have extra content that we throw up on there, all videos and
we
stuff.
We don't throw it up.
We throw it up. Can you tell him a mom? It's just throw up. Somebody threw up in my house this weekend.
Well, and what's exciting is
it wasn't my kid, though.
This week's our guest is Romaine of Derek and Romaine Show and her wife Iris. And guess what? They talk about on this video about a sex toy that shoots sperm so that you can, you know,
inseminate
at home.
But I mean, like the most natural, I mean, not the most natural way, but as natural as us lesbians can get. Like, you can actually like do it. And I mean,
I have to say, by the way,
I'm so fascinated by this. But listen, I told my other friend about this thing, and I can't remember the name of it. It's like Rocket or something.
I think she talks about it in the video.
Yeah. Well, I told my other friend about this thing, and she was like, yeah, Jame, it's been around for like 15 years.
I mean, well, what Where do we know, Jamie? What the hell do we know?
So anyway.
But you know, it's funny because you were just talking about doing that. We were talking about we couldn't come up with a phrase or a word that's the way that we make babies. And we were like, oh, we didn't like the word. Remember then the Kathy 2 episode? Mm-hmm. But anyway, so a listener whose name is, let's see, hold on, her name
How did I miss this? Where'd this come from?
It happened on the social, Jamie. Her name is Becky Barnett.
When did this happen?
It happened this morning.
Oh my God.
And she pinged us on the old Instagram.
Get
and she
it, girl.
Said she said that instead of calling it like the unnatural way, because we didn't know what we were talking about, we were
so
like,
dumb.
She said we should call it assisted reproduction.
Assisted reproduction.
Because you are getting a little bit of help.
Yeah, we have
and
to.
And she's studying to be an OBGYN.
Even
so
if
I don't
you
know.
Use that shooter dildo, you're
whoa,
still getting a little bit
whoa.
Of help. We got to know the name
Still
of that.
Assisted.
It's assisted reproduction.
Yeah.
Should we call it AR? No.
No, that sounds like robots.
How about assisted repro?
Asri.
Asri. Asrip. Asrip.
All right. Asripo. Let's move on.
Asripo.
We?
Well, I was, me and my wife, we did Asripo. Anyway.
The fact that it has ass in
so
it.
So how did
hilarious.
You guys do it? Did you do Asripo? A three-pro.
Okay, let's get to our guests because this week we've got Romaine of the DNR Studios with her wife, Iris. Mm-hmm. But before we bring them in, we do have to say this is something exciting.
Oof.
Our podcast is now available on the DNR Studios network.
Yes, you guys.
Yeah, they have. So it's like Derek and Romaine's show is live 5 days a week and they have all this other amazing content
they have
on the
an
network.
Empire
and
of
yeah,
shows.
And you can catch us there too. So
now we're there.
Yeah.
It's all like gay people. I mean, it is.
I don't
is,
know why that
it?
Was funny. I don't know why that was funny.
It's LGBTQ folk.
Okay, well, let's get Romaine and Iris in here, shall we?
Get them in here because we have some stuff to tell Iris.
We sure do.
Yeah, we do.
Hi.
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 We have Romaine and Iris here with us.
We brought Romaine's wife.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And for those of you who haven't listened, if you didn't hear the original episode with Romaine, I believe it might have been called Romaine Talk Smack.
It was
something like that.
It was exactly that. Yeah.
Knowing me.
And
knowing
so we just guest hosted on Romaine's show and we decided let's bring her back in. And we thought, let's bring Iris in and let's play clips from the first one and then let Iris have space to talk.
I'm just going to start by saying I don't think that is fair. And I'm not sure that I like this idea at all because on my radio show, I say all I want about Iris and she all never can long. Defend herself because she's never there. And typically she does not like to be on the air.
That's true.
So you guys are having something rare in and of itself.
Yeah, this is good.
I don't know how I feel about this.
This is going to be good.
I'm going to be in trouble. You guys are going to trick. You're going to get me in the doghouse.
No, I don't think so.
I look forward to it.
I don't think so. And we just found out that Iris hasn't even listened to the episode yet. So it's all great. New.
That is true.
It's all new.
It makes me so nervous.
Well, Iris, we always start with this thing called the elevator pitch. And we've started a new thing where you get 30 seconds to tell the elevator pitch about your family.
Wait, hold on. I got my timer.
I'm terrible at this game.
All right. Are we ready?
I think so.
On your mark. Get set. Go.
My family.
See?
I'm so terrible.
Doing
at this.
Really good, Iris. You're doing a great job.
I'd have to say we are a funny bunch. We like to play games together and rip on each other because it's hilarious. There have been some game banning because that's how serious it gets. But at the end of the day, we all love each other and recognize that each of us has differences and it plays to our strengths.
That oh my God,
time.
You came in at exactly 30
that
seconds.
That was a nice ending. That was nice, a nice
little button. But I want to tell you
that
we have in our house a rule that is you don't cut funny. And you always have to say it like this. You don't cut funny.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Meaning like it might be a little mean, but it's funny.
Oh my God.
Funny rules.
We told our daughter that whenever she meets new people, we're like, you can be funny,
but not mean funny.
Right.
Yes. That is, by the way, our rule. Yeah. In seriousness, we say you can't be mean funny. I'm always saying to my son, like, Henry, that was mean funny. We don't do mean funny. We do nice funny.
Nice funny.
Kind. Smart funny.
Kind. You was kind.
I'm like, sure. So what we're doing is we've got these clips, and we have our first clip that has a little something to do with a People's Choice PodQuest Awards.
PodQuest
Awards. All right, let's play this first clip.
Oh, boy.
But we mostly know you because last year you beat the crap out of us. You beat the pants off us in the People's Choice Podcast Award.
I don't know if we have to say beat the pants off.
I mean, did we win, Jamie?
We didn't win.
Did they win?
We won.
But we did post our award speech after we lost.
We sure did. We sure did.
Yeah, I actually think, and this is going to sound sad, but I'm pretty certain that our award acceptance speech was almost word for word, the exact same speech we did the year before. Even though we didn't plan it that way, it just came out that way.
So I don't know
because you have your whole rapport, the way you talk with each other.
Jamie, did you happen to notice that she not only beat the pants off us, but managed to just work in that they won 2 years in a row?
2 years in a row, yeah.
So, Romaine, did you win a third year in a row?
No, I did not.
I'm bitter
and jaded about it.
But wait, Romaine, who won?
You know, it was this podcast I really have not heard much about. Something about my womb. Or
my womb.
I can't remember.
Imagine if our podcast was called Our
My
Wombs.
Our
terrible. Our wombs, ourselves.
You guys kicked our wombs. Kicked our booties this year. And
the pants off, I'd
you
like
did,
to say.
And I would like to congratulate you because I'm a generous and kind person. And
thanks
I'm not
for me.
Totally bitter and jaded. Just a little bit. No, actually, I was very happy to see that you guys won. Because let me tell you.
Is this going to be about your tired of winning?
If I was going to be beaten by somebody, I certainly didn't want it to be a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, I get that. I see that.
Right? So,
how many other gay lady podcasts were even in our category?
I don't think there were any other lady ones in there. So if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose to some badass women. That's all.
I like the badass right there.
All right.
Badass.
All right. So then let's make a commitment that next year it's one of us winning again.
It's going to be us. I'm not going to.
There she goes again.
You will not catch me being lazy next year.
Well, you have the advantage of being on air every single day.
I do. But you know, sometimes my listeners get a little lazy sometimes.
You really have
to be like, get your butts out there. And I kind of have to threaten them a little bit. Like,
what do you threaten them with?
I'm leaving.
I tell you, if they don't do as I say, because it's a lot of gay men, I promise them there will be more vagina talk than they know what to do with.
Ooh.
And then the fear of all that vagina.
Yeah.
They rush out and do whatever I say.
I love it. You know, watch out because I have a feeling part of the reason we won is because of all of your tips you gave us.
Yes.
That's probably true.
We did everything you said you did.
And we did it.
That's awesome.
Which I think is brilliant. Yeah. And good for you.
Awesome. God, if you're not single white femaling, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Jamie, I just need to know, is there something that's interfering with your happiness and achieving your goals?
Yes, you.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding. Well,
The good news, though, is that if that is the case, BetterHelp is out there. It's an online therapy service. They're out there, and they're going to help you meet your needs. They're going to match you with a licensed therapist. And within like 24 hours, you can start communicating with somebody.
Yeah, Robin, I know I'm using BetterHelp, so I know all about BetterHelp. But I think our listeners might not, so let's let them know. It's really important to say that this is not a crisis line.
This is
actual therapy that you get online. So, and instead of having to go to an office and wait in a stinky waiting room with other people who are like, I wonder why she's here. You get to sit in the comfort of your own living room, sit crisscross on your couch with a cup of coffee and talk to your therapist.
And you can, it's available worldwide. So if you're in a smaller town where maybe there aren't a ton of therapists or you're afraid, you know, people are going to know, it's available to you and you can message your counselor anytime, 24/7. And then you get fast responses, which is amazing.
Yeah. I'm literally going to, after our session today, me and you, I'm going to go and schedule a session because I have some time in the rest of the day and she might be available. So and I can always message her too and she gets back to me.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the good thing too is that it's more affordable than traditional therapy. And they also offer financial aid. So that's just critical.
So it's really accessible for everyone in the whole world.
I mean, basically just they want you to, BetterHelp just wants you to start living a happier life today. So here's what I want to say to our listeners. You can visit their website and read testimonials at betterhelp.com/reviews. And for us and for you guys, if you go to betterhelp.com/OCT, that's better, H-E-L-P, you're going to join the over 700,000 people that are taking charge of their mental health.
With the help of an experienced professional. Mm-hmm. This is a special offer for If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners. You get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
10% off.
Then you might as well do it.
Go get yourself better.
Get it.
Achieve some goals.
I mean,
be less annoyed by me.
Please. Yes.
Okay, so.
All right, so now we're getting into the.
Iris's time. So now.
The dirty dirt.
Do we ask Iris about how they met before the clip? Or let's do the clip first. Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Wait, I gotta be nice.
Here's how it started. I met my wife, Iris. She was a listener who hated me but loved Derek. She thought I was obnoxious.
Hilarious.
I'm not even joking.
She'd always start off like
she
that.
She came to an event to meet Derek. She told me I was obnoxious and that she wasn't there to meet me. Like literally, these are the words she said to me the first time we met. And so then I convinced her that I was amazing because that's
how'd you go about that?
Yeah,
well,
I want to know.
You know,
like,
I could be
do like a listener.
I know
call-in
you haven't
segment?
Seen it yet, but I could be very charming when I want to be.
It's coming.
Iris was nodding her head that whole time. She's agreeing. She's in agreement.
I don't lie about things.
She thought you were a jackass. What was the word?
I did.
Obnoxious.
Obnoxious.
All right, tell us from your side of.
Well, I used to listen to their show back in the day.
Still listen now that you're married? You're all like,
no,
I gotta listen to her all day long.
I would get mad at her. So I'm like, no, to keep the peace at home, I'm not gonna listen. Because a lot of times, some things are.
It's all very one sided.
Yes, of course.
Like, sure. Because I have a platform I can just vent.
Yeah,
chat,
you go in there and you
and
vent.
And I treat the show like therapy.
Right.
But she doesn't get to have her side.
Which is
unfair.
Right. And I think that was part of the thing that annoyed me the most about her.
I can see that.
When I first listened.
Well, but what were you talking about other people at that point? You weren't with Iris.
I mean, I was with somebody else when I first met Iris. And yeah, I used to complain about her all the time. She was this lesbian that cried every day. Oh.
Like in joy?
No, just cried every day. Like an obnoxious, horrible person.
What was she crying about?
Life. Anything. She went outside. It's raining. I couldn't take it. And so I would go on the air and I would complain about her every day because she made me crazy.
And you're Iris, still dating her though.
What did you think about that?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I get complaints that I don't cry.
Oh. So. That is true. She never cries. She's like the complete opposite end of the spectrum. It's true. She has no heart.
You're all like, I was in the military. Go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I want to know, how'd you find her show?
Well, in the military, you don't find a lot of, this was during Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
She didn't find a lot of gay-friendly
LGBTQ,
things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or exposure to that because typically you're in the Midwest or, you know, in a very small town that's very conservative. So having that ability to listen to that really helped out.
In the vein of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell thing, like, did your what do you call each other? Like your co-soldiers?
My co-workers or co-workers? Peers, yeah.
Did they know? Like, were you out to them?
That was something you really had to maneuver through very carefully because most people are really okay and solid. Maybe they have some suspicions, but they don't ever really kind of talk about it. Mm-hmm. I have seen where friends of mine have had come out to other people and they instantly turned. So it was weird, you know, because you go through a lot of things and experience a lot of crazy things together and you think that's really kind of enough. So that was always a fear in the back of my mind. Right. So I was always very cautious in evaluating people and who I should. So I only came out to a handful of people. Mm-hmm. Then I was very cautious.
Because your career could be over.
Exactly. Because at the time you're done.
Because you're not supposed to ask. You're not supposed to tell.
Correct. Right. But that was hard because I could never, ever really share me.
It's a whole part of you. Right. It's you.
And especially like in the military, you're in really heightened situations, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And like life and death situations. And then yet you're holding a really big piece of yourself.
Yeah. Right.
I can't even imagine that.
No, it was tough. It was tough. So the people that I did choose to come out to were cool and I knew I could trust them, but there was always that fear in the back of my mind. But yeah, so that's how I kind of came across that. It was a nice thing to hear without worrying about anything.
Comfort representation matters, right? That's why we need more of this.
And you were
more
all like, need to start Derek, like I love that Derek.
He was funny. He made me laugh. When I would listen, he would make me laugh.
Made her mad.
I make lesbians in particular mad. I do. Gay men love me. Lesbians, not so much.
Really?
It's a true story.
We love you.
Well, thank you. We're lesbians.
We're lesbians.
It's nice to get some lesbian
We're living
love.
The lesbian life. Iris, you were living the lesbian life, though, before you went into the services?
No.
Oh, no. Look at this.
I actually was married.
Oh. To a man.
Yeah, to a man.
Obviously, because it was man. In the 90s.
Yep. Yes, she was.
So, yeah, no.
But you were still like, I think I feel like listening to this show about gay people.
Oh, no, I was divorced at that time.
Oh, okay. So she was in the military for a long time.
Yeah.
So a lot happened in that period of time.
That is correct. So I started out in the military. I was married. And then I won
a. Was he in the military too?
He was.
Okay. Yep.
And then I got a scholarship to essentially go to college and become an officer. So I started out enlisted. And when I went to college, it was a whole new world.
Yeah.
What is this TA thing you're talking about? Is what I think it means?
Your brain goes to weird places.
I love where her brain goes.
So I guess you could say that's where I really discovered who I was. Didn't hurt that there was somebody to have a crush on.
Okay.
So then I ended up divorced and I was gay, but it was worse because, of course, I was in the military.
In the military. So you had to really keep it a secret.
I did.
But you told your ex-husband.
No. I did not tell him until practically when I was out of the military. Romaine laughs at me. I took into consideration his ego.
Oh, right. That's nice of you, I suppose. It's nice.
I just told him it wasn't working out.
Not that he turned you gay or anything.
No, he did not. He was a very nice guy.
She comes from a very religious family, an Hispanic family at that. So coming out to her family in particular is even more challenging than for a lot of other people. So, and her mom is very, very religious. And for Iris, I think coming out, and I'm speaking for you, I'm sorry, but I think for Iris coming out was
I'll let you know if you're wrong.
It was just a much more challenging thing. And you know, she didn't come out until much later in life. And for a lot of reasons, her family, the military, all of those things, when you start piling those into a big pile, it makes kind of a big mountain to try to overcome. And, you know, and I think for Iris, I think part of meeting me is I was the opposite end of that spectrum, right? So I'm someone who'd been out since I was in high school, super duper confident about being gay. And I think for her and I, like in some ways, she's taught me how to balance out my, I'm so gay. And I've helped her come back into the I'm gay kind of sphere and really be more accepting of herself too. And I think that she and I are a perfect balance for each other in a lot of ways. And this is just one of those examples.
Nice. You just elevator pitched that shit.
Thank you.
Well, what in our next clip, Romaine starts to talk about the timing of how things went and when you guys wanted to have babies and how fast things were going. So let's take a listen to what Romaine had to say about that.
Let's hear it.
And about 6 months in, I said, you know, we should buy a house.
Because we should try to live together.
Now I'm like, I've been dating you for, let's say, a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
And
you no longer have a career or a home.
Yeah.
But now's a good time to buy
Let's buy a
property
house.
Together.
Let's do that. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, and I think I want to have a baby. And she goes, moving a little fast, are you? And I'm like, well, yeah, maybe.
What do we think about that, Iris?
Romaine knows what she wants and when she wants it. So she was very aggressive and vocal with that. She made it known. And I'm okay mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay mm-hmm. with that.
You're and all right.
Let's talk about whether or not you always wanted kids, didn't want kids. Like, how was it for you? I mean, she clearly knew right from the get-go she wanted to have kids.
She clearly wanted kids, yeah, from the get-go. For me, yeah. You know,
it wasn't a priority.
It wasn't a priority. Correct. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're in a feelings area for Iris. And she's all like, she's like, if you could see her, there's hives starting to break out.
She feels a little on the spot.
She's starting rubbing. To get like, hands are starting to be rubbed together and some nervous touching of buttons.
She's a little on the
Iris
spot
is like,
right now.
And by the way, in the car on the way home, it's going to be like, you didn't tell me this was going to be like a therapy session. I thought this was just like a podcast.
I promised her she was going to like you guys.
No, I hope she still does at the end of this.
I do.
But no, like, did you think that I don't care about having kids because of a gay thing or was anything like, what's the, was just like, I don't know, I don't really care for them or not.
For me, growing up, it was never, I wanted to have kids, but I think part of it was because I didn't want it in a traditional sense with a man. So for me, in my head at that time, I was like, I don't need any kids. Like, that's not down my path, but I think it had to do with a lot of other things. And then with Romaine, I was more open to it, but at the same time in my head, it was, but you don't want kids. So
it's true. And the funny thing is, what really inspired me to like want to try right away, and I don't even think I've told Iris this, is so her brother had just had a baby and we went down to, they were still in the hospital when they had that baby when we made the trip. And I remember holding the baby and just thinking, I really want this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something I want for myself. And seeing Iris's brother and seeing Iris like reacting to her brother, I just thought, I think I can talk her into this. Because I never go to, I, you know, it's it, there's this funny thing about me. I won't make a bet unless I can win it. And so I'm like, I think I can convince her to do this crazy
Here
thing.
We are.
And she and I, because we talked about it before that, about like having family or whatever. And I knew I always wanted one, but she was always like, yeah, I don't really. She just didn't seem that interested. And even her brother's exactly the same way, which is very funny. These two are like two peas in a pod. But, you know, watching him become a dad, I think, loosened her up to the idea. And I think as they've had more children, they have three now. You know, I think even then she's like, there's a part of her that's like, oh my God, that seems like so many. And yet, you know.
It does seem like a lot.
It does seem like a lot.
It seems like a lot to all of us.
Yeah. So I more or less kind of just convinced her.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the openness. I was open to it with Romaine and I could see it with Romaine. That was the thing.
You could see parenting with Romaine.
Yeah.
Is that what made you agree to it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't that hard.
No, when I put my mind to something, I just make it happen.
I know, you said that in the other, I think we have a clip of that.
It might be coming.
It probably is.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see it. And I think that's when I had to really kind of reconcile it within myself.
Yeah.
So, and not be easy. So stubborn and sticking to something because I've always said it for so many years.
Sure. Right.
Did you have any issues with the family and like the gay thing and having kids?
That's what I wanted to
so
ask.
So the funny thing is, well, I don't know if it's funny, but I had not talked to my mom since college. So when I graduated college, my mom was coming out to obviously come to the commencement. At the time I was with my girlfriend and her mom. She came out, we introduced each other. At the time I hadn't really completely come out to her at that time, but she figured it out. Mm. And when she did not stay for the commencement. She left.
She bolted.
Yeah. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But my brother has
like,
been.
Congratulations to me.
Yeah. It was a. That's another sad story for another day.
But, for your memoir.
But my brother, on the other hand, I came out to him when I was in the military and he was all about it. Embracing.
Her brother's awesome.
Yeah. So for him, it was no big deal. Business as usual. We always shared and confided in each other and we got, I'd say, even closer. So for him, us getting a kid, then we were kind of like, wow, do you ever see us to having a kid? And it was like, no, we never thought we'd be here. So we have those kind of conversations and it's fun. So to him, it was fine. Flash forward, I don't know, what, 10 years?
Yes. The relationship between Iris and her mom is complicated, to say the least.
I can imagine.
But I will say what I found. One of the things when we were pregnant is I was always encouraging Iris to reach out to her mom. I'm like, you're about to become a mom.
You hadn't talked to her yet.
You have to tell your mom you're going to have a child. Mm-hmm. Like, this is important family stuff that you have to do. So she did. She reached out to her mom. And there were glimmers in the beginning that her mom was going to be okay.
It was hopeful.
Like she sent a bouquet of flowers when we had the baby. Yep. But then for 7 more years, 8 more years, it's very challenging. Like her mom has still not met me, still has not met our daughter.
She always backs out at the last minute. She was supposed to come when Romy was born.
Yep.
Something came up. we were in Texas visiting my brother, visiting her aunt, and the day of, she canceled. It's been a roller coaster of a ride, and some mean things were said, but Romaine always had it in her mind that we were going to get back to communicating.
Yes, again. I put my mind to something. Exactly. And so Iris and her brother, because her brother's also got a strained relationship with her mom.
Yes,
and I'm just like, listen, you two, I get it. I get you're angry. I get that there's some resentments and things that have built up over the years. I'm like, you guys got to get over yourselves and you guys got to work this out. And so it has taken a long time. And I would say that I feel like the relationship between them and their mother is the strongest it's ever been in the time that I've known Iris. And I'm very hopeful that in the near future, that she will meet our family and she will get to experience all the stuff that she's been missing out on.
Have you spoken to her on the phone, Romaine?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
No. So Romaine is
Romaine, terrified.
First of all,
I was just
going to
say, probably a subscriber of your pod, of your
no, I don't think so.
But I am a little scared to meet her. And I think part of it is because I have this big, I'm gay personality.
Oh yeah.
And so I do worry that I'm going to be too much for her mom and even Romy a little bit. You know, she's got a big personality like mine. And I feel like we're going to overwhelm her poor mother and her brother's going to run screaming from the building. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. And Romaine forgets to mention, too, that there was a time where she was like, man, maybe I was wrong about your mother. Because there was
I did have a couple moments where I was like, oh, man, maybe I'm forcing you to do something I shouldn't be forcing you to do.
Because there were some mean moments in there.
Oh, there were.
And the last mean moment before this whole thing was when I was like, nope, I am out. I am not exposing Romy to any of this kind of thing. So it wasn't until I knew I could trust her in having an open mind and not being so judgmental or mean that I would even open up this possibility. And things have changed, I think, in her life as well. So it's made her a little bit more open. But Romaine is the final hurdle to, I think, to my mother, because it is the glaring in your face. Mm. Yeah, your daughter's gay.
You would think that you coming out to her would have been the moment that opened her mind.
No, yeah, she was always thinking I was going to go back.
Like, right.
It was, I was going through a phase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the same thing for my mom. I mean, my mom had four gay children and I was the final gay kid to come out. And our mom and my mom lived with the two of us for many years.
Many years, yeah.
And even in the early stages of her living with us, she'd always tell Iris, "Oh, one day Romaine's gonna meet a man." And Iris is like, "I'm right here." And so this went on for a very long time. And even when we had Romy, my mom's like, "Are you sure you want to let her adopt the baby?" Yeah. And I'm like, "Oh my God, yes, of course we made this baby together." Like, she just had this kind of crazy notion in her mind that I was bisexual. I'm like, "Mom, I'm not." But I think it was when she saw and participated in our marriage that's when Betty really turned the corner and was like, "Oh, okay, this really is Romaine's partner. This is the one that she's committed to." Yeah. And Betty loved Iris. Right. Like, she just thought Iris
was
the
always
greatest.
How it turns out. And then the mom ends up loving the partner more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the good way. That's the way you want it to be, really.
I think so.
Were you ever close with your mom?
Once upon a time, yes. When I was growing up in high school, all through high school, I was close. I would even say I was probably her best friend.
Aww.
And then I went out and joined the military.
Right.
And that kind of threw things for a whirl.
She had a feeling what that meant. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there was like, she thought there was like some gayness in that. I'm not saying like joining the military is a gay thing.
But you're totally saying joining the military is super gay.
I mean, it's like, it is a more, masculine sort of choice of a job. I mean, I'm just like, somebody help me out here.
I see what you're saying.
The crap out of that stuff.
But I think also.
In the same way I was a phys ed major. I'm just saying, these are indicators.
Don't you think it's true that a lot of people join the military because it's a way to escape the world that they're currently in? Like, they go and be somewhere else, be in a group, and yet there's a certain freedom, I think, that comes with that, even though in her case, not so much because it was don't ask, don't tell time. But you can kind of get away from the way you were raised. You can kind of get away from all those ideas, and you can kind of figure yourself out, I think, in a new setting.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, jet engine mechanic, that's what I was.
I'm just
saying.
Yeah. Totally. I'm just saying. It's like you're proving my point.
There
I want one more question before we go to the next clip.
Okay.
Romaine.
Oh,
how do you talk about your mother with your daughter?
So for me, she hadn't asked for a while. I really say, hey, this is my mom. She raised me. We don't really look at life the same way. So we don't really have a close relationship. She is your grandmother. We don't have that relationship. That's kind of, and I really just take the questions as they come. I don't really portray an image or tell a story about her unless I'm asked, because I don't want to create a bad picture, because that's what my mom used to do. So I try to avoid those pitfalls because I know how it made me feel. So I just kind of take them as they come.
And sometimes Romeo will do this thing. If she knows that one mom is not going to give her the answer she's looking for, she goes to the other mom. So a lot of times she'd come to me and she'd be like, okay, so I know Mommy Iris and her mom don't really get along very much, but why? Like she would ask me, but why? And a lot of times I just like, well, you know, Mommy Iris's mom is not very comfortable with gay people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that would satisfy her curiosity. Yep. And so then she'd be like, oh, well, that's weird, but okay. And then she'd kind of let it go.
Yeah. And usually she asks in front of both of us.
Yeah.
And it's always, oh, well, that's weird.
Yeah. Like it always doesn't make sense to her because it's like, what's wrong with gay people?
Wrap it around. Right. Yeah.
I know. Because she's rational. And this is not rational what's happening.
It's fear.
It is completely fear.
It's fear. And, she has an opportunity to work through the fear and get to know that it's like totally normal.
And I believe she will. I really do. I mean, I believed it all. There was a moment of like, maybe
she's
not.
Her best
but
champion.
I really do. I am her mom's best champion. She, does
she
not
should
even
listen
know.
To this so she can hear how much you believe in her.
I really do.
I'll send it to her.
I mean, I have been Iris's mom's number one ally in this.
True.
I mean, she
Isn't
has
that
no
ironic?
Idea.
It is.
Not only, and not it only is. With Iris, but with her brother too. Like I have pushed them and pushed them and pushed them. I'm like, God. I mean, if you only knew the conversations we've had. And even when I started to doubt a little bit, I still had hope.
Mm. Right. And the interesting thing now is my brother actually has a relationship. And he was never going to open that up unless my mom was more embracing. Aww. And he pretty much told her that. So she knew she had to either step up to the plate or go away. And she did. To her credit, she has. She still is weird.
I mean, sometimes they're just doing the best they can. They're damaged people who are doing the best they can.
I can't imagine imagine how hard it is for her. She lost both her kids for a while there.
Yeah.
She really did.
Just super terrible, terrible predicament to be in.
Yeah, it is. And I know my brother was horrified at the idea of opening back that door because when he married his wife, he told her she was dead.
Yeah. We told him before he got married. We're like, you have to tell your wife that your mom is alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had told her that she died in a car accident. And I was like, no, you cannot.
How'd that conversation go? Oh my goodness.
I mean, I will say to his wife's credit, Miriam's credit, she's amazing.
She is amazing.
She took it in stride, but she's like, I can't believe you lied to me about this.
This is pretty big.
It's huge.
But he's like, listen, I just never thought I'd have her back in my life at any point, so I just didn't see the point of telling you about it because she's a horrible person.
Oh, so here's the interesting part.
So funny to me when people make that choice though, like rather than just being like, I can't stand her, she's a horrible person, you're never gonna meet her, you put her in a car crash with details that are and by the way, that's always gonna come out.
That's like Liz, the single mother by choice, who would tell people who asked about who the dad was, she'd be like, oh, he's dead, he died in a car crash. Yeah,
because
five
people
years ago.
Kept being like, well, is he giving his child support, is he doing this, and finally she was like,
I just started killing him.
Well, my mother has been around more in my niece's lives and my brother's, of course.
Because they live in the same
So now Miriam, who is my brother's wife, has had an opportunity to spend some time with my mother, as well as her mom. And so the interesting thing is they got together recently and they're like, you know, Bob, I know now why you said she was dead.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Oh, your mom.
So, so they've forgiven him.
That's hilarious.
She gets it. Moving on. This one's going to be
good. Number four. Okay, this one.
Every clip, man, I get
nervous. You get very nervous, and they have not been bad at all.
They haven't been bad. We're not being mean.
Yeah.
No, these have been really good.
They've been good.
Here we go.
Did Iris get a say in your five-year plan?
No. No, it was my plan. I just kind of charmed her into it.
Right.
Because this is what I do.
Right. What if she had said she wasn't on board? Would you have lost her?
I would have been like, well, I'm going to have a baby with or without you. So
we've talked to some people who did that.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to be like, I had made a choice. And when I'm the kind of person, when I've made a decision for myself, that's it. This is what's going to happen.
I admire that.
Oh, yeah.
Iris, how do we feel about that?
Oh, I did not have a say.
Full agreement, right?
Yeah,
but we agree on that.
But
literally, what if you had put your foot? I mean, I understand where you're coming from because I kind of was waging on Mary too. Like, different from you, I did a whole like thing where I was like, Mary, go off and think about her future with a baby, without her baby. But it was all bullshit because I knew I could talk her into having a baby.
Right. Robin and Romaine are very much
like,
alike.
I was just like,
I'm noticing that.
I was just I'm pretty sure she's going to want to have a baby. And she did come back and made it all her, so I didn't have to do anything like that. But I didn't know what I was going to do.
So I'm curious, what if you had been like, I really don't want to? Would you guys have broken up or like?
Yeah,
I think so. In fact, I know so. Certain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think.
Because I was going to do it with or without her.
I mean, and like, I knew I had to jump on the romaine train or be out.
Yeah.
Right. I get that. I understand that.
Yeah. The romaine train doesn't stop for anybody.
The romaine train will run you
I
over.
I see that. I see that.
But it's a good train to be on.
Sure.
It is. I think.
I agree.
It's a fun train.
It's an adventure.
We're having two different conversations and Robin is piecing out of the conversation.
I'm just laughing at all of this. Okay. Well, listen, I think what's going to happen is we're going to move right into clip five, which is about who should carry the baby. Are we ready?
Oh no. You want to fight?
And this is our last clip, Romaine. You're going to be okay. Ready? Here we go.
But I'm like, all right, I got a plan. This is what we're going to do. Let's do it. And she did not want to carry a baby.
No, she didn't. Okay.
No, she's like, it's going to hurt.
She's in the military.
I know. For someone in the military, my wife is the biggest pussy of them all. I'm not even exaggerating. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I'm young-ish. I can do this.
You know,
I'm thinking on this one.
I did not want to carry. No. I did not. It's scary as hell.
My face hurts. I'm laughing so much.
And I thought, okay, Romaine's going to carry. Mm-hmm. I have enough time to wrap it around my brain.
For her to carry.
Yeah. No, for me to carry.
She was supposed to carry.
I know,
because
you talked about this later. Yes, you were going to carry the second child.
Yeah.
But then.
And then I wussed out.
You wussed out because it was going to hurt. Out.
Because did you have a hard pregnancy? Like, so that
okay. She hated her pregnancy.
I hated it. And she bitched about it every single day.
Yeah. Right.
And
so,
she made
so
it.
So you
sound
didn't
like
want to see her pregnant again.
Oh,
huh?
No.
You didn't want to be around that.
It was like the worst experience ever.
I mean,
ever.
What I'm hearing, Iris, is that it's Romaine's fault you don't have a second child. That's what I'm hearing.
Because I don't had like she.
How quickly the tables turned.
So it was the pain, but it was it other things too? I mean, this is your chance to.
First of all, the whole experience of pregnancy was not at all enticing.
No, right. It really is.
Never.
No.
Your whole life.
None of us liked it.
Never thought never. You wanted to be pregnant.
No,
right.
I never. Uh-huh. I always said when I was a kid, it used to drive my mother crazy. I'm never getting married. I'm never having kids. I'm not doing any of that.
Right, right.
So this is what I'm saying. Your mom knew. I'm just saying. Yeah. Your mom always knew. And that's why like she was like,
Yeah. Probably so. Probably so.
But then what brought you around to having child number two? To going forwards to saying, okay, we'll try this.
What do you mean? Well, I'm sorry.
Well, because you were going to have the second one.
I was supposed to.
And then so what was brought you this to your that? Plan?
This was all my plan. I could convince her of a lot of things. Her carrying a baby was not one
that
of
was
them.
The limit.
But
that
you
was
were, that, I, but yeah. You tried.
My body. My body.
My body, so my choice.
So right. You never got to the point where you were really going to do it. You just like,
she never was. This has been probably one of the biggest bones of contention in our entire relationship.
That is true.
Is that she was supposed to carry the second child. We waited and 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 waited for her to do it. And she never would come around to it. So then eventually we decided to try for a second child with me carrying it. But then my mom died. Like we got through two cycles. Right. My mom died. And I was just so devastated by the whole situation. I'm like, I can't keep trying. Like this, if this doesn't work and I just lost my mom, I'm just going to be too devastated. I just can't emotionally do it. Mm-hmm. And so we waited some more. And then eventually Iris did go to the doctor to see if we could. But by that point, she was 38, 39.
Yeah.
And they were like, listen, lady, you're a little bit old. And
by the way, that's when I had both. I was 38 for my first, 40
I was
for my
39
second.
Really?
And both of my UI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anne was 42.
Well, in my family, and my mom did mention this before, is typically the ladies of the family hit it a lot earlier.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So she was already pretty close to perimenopausal when we went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, listen, we just don't think your eggs will be.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, that could be viable.
Whereas, and then they're like, but your wife's eggs, because I have PCOS, and because of it, my eggs are a little more fresh, I guess, because I didn't cycle. So once I had Romy, I didn't cycle for almost 10 years. Like I'd have a cycle, but it would just be very random and sporadic.
Sure.
Yeah. And so,
because of the PCOS.
Yeah. Because of the PCOS.
So your ovarian reserve was very high.
Yes.
Correct.
And okay, so they're like, well, we could take some of Romaine's eggs and put them in you. And then I'm like, oh, that's expensive. Mm-hmm. So we're like, screw that. We're not doing that. Now, meanwhile, we've kept our swim team on ice. We had purchased
I never like heard that. Yeah.
So we've had our swim team on ice for
a long time.
2000 2009.
And it's the same donor? Yep.
This is the crazy thing. So when we started to try, right around the time my mom died, it was 2000 what? I don't remember, 13 maybe?
13. Yeah, I think it's 13.
He had never come available for years. So yeah. We had had Romy in 2007. Our donor never came available. And then all of a sudden, we got an alert. Oh,
somebody bought him out of retirement probably.
Yeah. And they're like, he's come in and there's X amount of vials. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, we got to buy these because this is like, we had literally already started looking at other donors because we didn't have enough of him. Right. And so I'm like, oh my God, this is meant to be.
Yeah.
So we bought a bunch. And so we've had him on ice all this time. And so we've talked about it. So, cause I would like, Iris is still in the I'm ambivalent kind of place, but I would like another child. But the problem is I'd have to carry and I'm not a spring chick anymore. I'm not as young as I was before.
Right.
And we've discussed whether or not to do it or not. I think that if we do, it will happen next year. We're of the mindset that we're going to use what we have. And then if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But then at least we know we tried.
Yeah. How many vials do you have? Do you know?
I want to say 6 or 7 of them right now.
Well, they have this new kind of IVF. What's it called?
The effortless IVF.
Effortless IVF, where they use like the champagne cork thing.
Yeah.
They put the sperm and the egg into the champagne cork thing. They put it in the woman's body whose eggs it was for the eggs to actually fertilize. Then they take it out and they can put it into another woman's body.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
We just
and it's cheaper than regular IVF.
It's like half price, something like that.
Ooh.
Wow. But also, we also learned recently about IVF vacations. Like you go to Mexico and you do get a vacation and it's like much cheaper.
Really?
And it's like a package deal.
Yeah,
there's like all these hotel included.
You can search it and there's like the whole
IVF
thing.
Vacations.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yep. So there's options. What I think is interesting is it sounds like you actually are going to try. Maybe you want to have another baby.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I think we probably will.
Yeah, we're going to try.
I mean, the idea is it's terrifying at our age because like I'm old and tired and my body hurts. But also, you know, we have a teenage daughter or almost, which in some ways is, oh, thank God we have help. Yeah. But we did with her. I mean, with her, we didn't have any help. And because all of our family lives far away. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of having a child that we have to like carrying a car seat around. Yeah. Like, that's heavy. Yeah.
You're going back to bottles.
I mean, that's terrifying to me.
I'm in that land right now. I don't want to deter you away from it, but it's a lot.
It's
don't
a lot.
Say too much, Jamie.
Yeah. I'll close my ears.
You'll scare poor Iris. We can't scare her than we already have.
The amount of poopy diapers.
Yeah, Jamie, don't say
but at least we'd have a teenager to help.
True. You think she'll do poopy diapers?
If she wants a car, she will.
Yes, she will. Yes, she will.
Right?
This is it. There's always something to take away.
She can pick the kid up from school.
How does Romy feel about it?
Oh, she is ecstatic at the idea.
Wants another baby. Well, she's really mad because she actually wants us to adopt. She's just adopt like a kid that could be like my friend.
Because she doesn't want to wait. Yeah.
So we looked at a lot of options. We considered fostering for a period. Mm-hmm. We haven't ruled anything out. Like, I don't think that Iris and I would have said no to any idea of expanding our family. I think at some point we will expand it. How we will expand it, maybe it'll be 5 more cats. I don't know. But
dear Lord, that's just, again, that. 2 on
don't
the nose.
Do that.
I mean, we already have 4.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And a lot of dogs.
Stereotypes exist for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, so it is so funny. I think part of what's been happening with our pets is that I keep filling the void of children in my heart with pets. And so we have so many pets that I'm like, what is wrong with me?
You need a baby.
I need a baby.
Or a child. You could get a preteen. Yeah.
We could do lots of things. So we're open to exploring what's out there for us. And who knows? Well, at some point I suspect it will happen. We're not 100% certain.
Well, that's the beauty of these LGBTQ families is the sky's the limit
for
how we make
them. Anyway, there's so many options.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Iris, is there anything that you want to have your say and feel in this whole area before we?
Listen, I think for me, it took me a lot of years to wrap around my head the importance of kind of having a sibling. And if we could do that for Romy, that would be amazing. Because as I get older, I think back and I think it was great having my brother. And I feel bad that Romy won't have that. So, you know, and I blame myself. You know, I can own that piece because I was the one that drug my feet on it. But if we can kind of fix that, then I'd be all about it. And I know Romy would be ecstatic about it.
And I give Iris a bad time all the time on my show, on your show, everywhere I go.
Poor Iris.
But I will say, Iris is an amazing parent. Like, this is one area where Iris, I think, has surprised herself even. She really excels at being a parent. Like, aww, it elevates her as a person. And she has really met the challenge really, really well.
I'm going to cry. That's beautiful.
Thanks, Romaine.
You're very welcome.
That leads me to one more question.
Sure.
The fact that you're the non-bio mom, mm-hmm, did you ever have any feelings surrounding that?
I guess I never really looked at myself as that. I just always looked at myself as Romy's mom. So I never really got into my own head with that.
Yeah.
I just embraced her and treated her as such and went with it. It comes up a little bit more now as far as questions, but she doesn't view it any differently.
Right.
But
you're just her questions.
Moms. Yeah.
What kind of questions does she ask?
Because so most of her questions come from her friends at school. Uh-huh. So the latest thing is like, oh, well, is your donor your father? And she's like, And she's like, no. And she's always like that. So matter of fact, like, no, he's just what made me happen.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
I think that what also made it easier for Iris being the non-bio mom is that when Romy was really little, she was much more bonded with Iris than she was with
me.
True. And I used to actually get kind of jealous because her and Iris were so close and I just felt kind of left out. And I'm like, but wait, I made you.
Yeah.
But what has happened is now that Romy's getting older, and I knew this would always happen. In my mind, I always knew it happened, but it was hard in reality kind of dealing with
it. It was not just in your mind. You said it every single day.
I did. But I knew.
I don't think there's anything that's ever just in Romy's mind.
You're right. It's true. But I knew when Romy became older, there would be a shift because I'm great with teenagers. Like I can get down to it because my brain has never really developed past teenagers.
You're 14.
So I feel like I could relate to teenagers really well in a way that Iris just gets annoyed by them. So she was great in the early years where that actually in some ways annoyed me. I just didn't have patience for like little babies.
Right.
She did not.
But I'm really good with Romy now. Like Romy and I are solid now.
You see each
other. So I do think that helped too in the early stages.
Yeah. My son, who I gave birth to, is really bonded to my wife too. And I do get sometimes like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
I birthed you, child. You better come to me.
Why don't you love me?
But it warms my heart too. Like, I love it.
Yeah, I love that
he loves her so much.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I love too, though. It's very interesting. So I majored in psychology in college. And I love the whole nature nurture thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can definitely see it with Romy and it just blows my mind.
Absolutely.
Because there are habits that she picks up from me that there's no way she would have had.
And yet she's kind of a mini me.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
totally. But there totally are so, but it's true. Me. There are so many things I see that she's picked up from Iris and I'm just like, oh no. No,
she picked up my charming dorkiness. It's fine.
Yes.
Yay. Get that dorkiness.
She's going to borrow your Star Wars purse.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted. She is my Star Wars fan with me.
I know.
I love that.
I'm not a Star Wars fan. I don't join that
club. Uh-oh.
I mean, it's more than anything, it's that you have a purse. It's just like far more. It's like that it's not a backpack.
It's an RTP purse. Like,
that is true. That is true.
It's the only purse she's ever carried.
I like love it. By the way, as lesbians, I now see you taking that to like your dress up purse for weddings.
Yeah. That's right.
Because isn't that what we do?
You're like, I need my dress to match my R2-D2 purse, please.
Well, this has been lovely. I'm so glad I feel honored that you were able to share your story because I didn't know that you didn't like to be on air. I mean, we should have probably asked you if you want to be on air. We just asked Romaine. We're like, can you get us Iris?
Well, and I was like, yeah, I'll deliver it.
But she does. This has been really great. Yeah. And we have Romy coming in too.
Oh God. Dear Lord, help us.
For something else.
Now that's for terrifying. The kids
episode. That is. I want to hear those clips later.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So after the episode, we managed to get Romaine and Iris's daughter, Romy, to talk about how she feels about Iris's mom.
Yeah.
So let's take a listen.
Okay. My whole family, not just my parents, they get in fights a lot. Like, I mean, when your parents come from like big families, like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of fights. And not only mostly on Mom Your Main's side, there's a lot of fights, but on Iris's side, there's also fights between her and her mom because her mom wasn't that accepting, but she's trying to accept her now, which is pretty nice. And I want to meet my grandma, so that's pretty exciting that I want to meet her. Although I don't know when that'll be, but I hope I can because she seems fun. Yeah, there's mostly not very many fights on Iris's side, but when there are, they're usually between her and her mom and stuff. But there's a lot of fights on Mom Your Main's side.
I,
I love that she seems so like well adjusted and everything with it.
She is, and but it's also like children notice everything. Yeah. Children are always listening, and like it's so sweet. She wants to know her grandma.
It is. Says,
I think she sounds nice. And she said, "So sweet."
I love that Iris didn't taint the grandmother for her.
Yeah.
And so now she's this person that she hopes someday to get to meet. Mm-hmm. But they've also set a balance that it's, if it's not, if it doesn't happen, it's okay.
And she's got a huge loving family.
Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah. So
wonderful.
Oh, Romy. Romaine was totally.
She was sweating.
She was so nervous. I think she was shaking.
She was afraid we were going to pull really mean ass shit.
I know, but she doesn't. She's not that. I mean,
we're
mean.
Not a gotcha show.
And
come
she
on.
Didn't say anything that bad.
She didn't.
It was fun though. Guys, we just rambled. So just quickly, don't forget about our Instagram giveaway. Mm-hmm. Follow us before January 31st on ovaries_talk to be entered to win ovaries swag.
A t-shirt, a mug, some stickers, and a pin. Just one pin.
And the winner will be announced February 3rd episode.
Okay. And let's keep this conversation going, please. Jamie, because if anyone needs anything, it's just more talking. so you can join our Patreon community at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And we got extra content. And do not forget that Romaine and Iris are going to get that. Down and dirty talking about their dildo that shoots.
What do you call it?
Not
a dildo.
I don't know. I hate calling it that.
There's another word for dildo. Vibrator? It's not, but it's
no,
not.
No, it's not. It's not electric. I don't know.
I think
whatever.
It is electric, doesn't it?
Boogie, woogie, woogie. No.
We got to look into that.
All right. Anyway, okay. Also on Twitter, ovaries talk.
Ovaries_talk on Insta. And if these ovaries could talk on Facebook. And you can also join our community there on Facebook. And you can talk to other listeners, which is always fun.
And thank you to our sponsor, BetterHelp.
You rock.
You're literally making this show possible.
You actually literally are.
I know, because we're falling apart.
So thank you.
Thank you for therapy.
We need therapy.
All right.
I think we got to go.
We do.
Eggs. Ovaries.
Out.
Out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.